Welcome back to the Wildside News. And now, Sidney Wildsmith.
August 9, 1854, 150 years ago, Ticknor and Fields published a book by an iconoclast from Massachusetts. Although barely recognized at the time, the book has become one of the most widely read and published books on the planet. Now, Houghton Mifflin, the successor to Ticknor and Fields, is publishing the 150th anniversary issue of Henry David Thoreau's Walden. We talk to photographer Scott Miller when we return on Wildside News.
Welcome back to the Wildside News. And now, Sidney Wildsmith.
In praise of genius past, Walden, Henry David Thoreau, transcendentalism, America, nature. It's hard to really appreciate that Walden, the book, was published 150 years ago. That translates to 1854. And August 9th is the sesquicentennial of the publication by Ticknor and Fields Publishing. 1854 is a unique time in America, 75 years past the American Revolution and about 10 years before the Civil War. So America was still in the process of trying to find its identity. And it is commonly accepted that Walden, a book of protest and passion, is one of the most significant books ever written. And it's 150 years old. One wonders, where would it be without it? If you have not read it, read it. Well, 150 years have passed, and now the site of this historic little shack that shed so much spirit into the American ethos is visited by hundreds of thousands of people each year. The legacy is now administered by the Walden Woods Project, a labor of grace by the legendary singer-songwriter Don Henley of the Eagles. To celebrate this historic landmark, Walden Woods and Houghton Mifflin, the current manifestation of the original Ticknor and Fields, have partnered to produce an anniversary edition of Walden. And to bring life to this effort, they asked our guest, photographer Scott Miller, to add dimension, texture, and color to the words with his amazing photographs. Scott Miller joins us from Carrollton, Texas, from his Sun to Moon Gallery. Scott, you spent a lot of time at Walden Pond, looking, feeling to find Henry David Thoreau. What did you discover about him and his place?
Well, I think, Sidney, what I discovered about him and his place is first of all, that Walden has a unique place in our country's history, and it's a place that is worth preserving. And it's a real tribute that 150 years later, we have 2,600 acres of land that is still, for the most part, under conservation, and that in the suburbs of a place like Boston, you can actually go out and, in essence, still I can go out and get lost in the woods and engulf myself in nature while being just 25 minutes away from downtown Boston.
It is an amazing area for reconnection. You don't have to travel hundreds of miles into the high country to find that connection. And, of course, you actually spent any number of times traveling through those woods with your camera. Tell me, how many times actually were you there, and sort of what was your process in terms of creating this tribute to Henry David Thoreau?
I haven't kept total count, but I did first go to Walden Woods in 1999, and the photographs that are in the book are the result of 5 years of photographing, and I did pretty much in all those years photograph all of the seasons. So I would estimate I've probably been there 24 to 30 times, and generally for a week and a half at a time during that period.
Now, of course, you've partnered with the Walden Woods Project. You had an opportunity to stay at their headquarters there, their center. Why don't you talk about that, because that is an amazing place as well.
Yeah, well, actually, it would not have been possible without the partnership with the Walden Woods Project, and I did have a unique opportunity, especially for the first 3 years. they have a piece of land that they bought and put under conservation that was going to be turned into condominiums, and it's a beautiful turn of the 1900s hunting lodge that they have now made into their headquarters, and it had a lot of extra rooms. And so I did have the unique pleasure of being able to stay there for 3 years when we would go visit, and it's actually right basically in the middle of Walden Woods, so I could literally walk out the back door, walk into the woods, and the pond was probably less than a half a mile away. So it was a unique opportunity, and without the Walden Woods Project, it would not have come about.
By the way, we have talked with the people at Walden Woods Project before, and you can go to their website by going to, very simply, walden.org. Well, now the book is, you have, what is it, about 100 photographs in the book?
I have 89 photographs that are mine in the book, and then there are also four historical photographs by a gentleman named Herbert Gleason, who was a prolific photographer in the early 1900s, at the turn of the last century. And I did some research at the Concord Library and found four photos that I then had my modern-day equivalents, and so there are those four historic, my 89, and that's pretty much it.
Let's cover very quickly the technical side, because obviously people who like to photograph nature like to know that too. What did you shoot with, and about how many shots do you suppose you took?
Boy, I know I've taken thousands and thousands over the years. I do photograph with medium format equipment. My primary camera is a 6x7 Bronica camera that is 2.25, but it's the rectangular format, so it's about a 2.75-inch wide negative. And I also have another camera, which you'll see a number of photos in the book, that is a panoramic camera, and it's a large format. So it also uses 2.25 film, but the negative is almost 7 inches wide, so you can take some really spectacular photos with the panoramic format.
So how do you go about photographing a book like this? Do you read Walden in the morning and then go out and try to, you know, find inspiration? How do you work?
Well, in the beginning, I was actually, it had been a number of years before 1999 since I had read Walden, and so I did kind of have to go back and reread, but I didn't read the whole book before I went there. I did start reading it, and then I kind of engulfed myself in Walden Woods. And to be honest, what I have done with the book is not really necessarily an attempt to document the Walden as it was written in 1854, but it is to go out and find Walden Woods as it is today, and it, in essence, it's my own little very intimate look at what I have found in Walden Woods at the turn of the 21st century.
That's actually very interesting, because you discovered some interesting changes that have taken place in 150 years.
Absolutely. I mean, and a lot of it's for the good, and there are still a lot of things that need to be done. But one thing, if you look at, there are a couple pages at the end of the book that I call Then and Now, and that's where I take the four historical photos by Herbert Gleason that were taken 100 years ago, and I have my modern-day equivalent in a couple of those. And there is one that's taken from a place called Pine Hill near the pond that back in 1900, his photograph is a beautiful panoramic, and you look down and you see almost the whole pond, and you can actually see down the hill where it's been clear-cut all the way down to the bottom, and then you see the trees start. Well, the photo, my modern-day equivalent, it's all wooded up there, and there's a little slot that you can look through, and so you can see maybe 5% of the pond now. So that's kind of a good example of some differences. As far as other things that have changed, because it is so close to downtown Boston and the land is very valuable, there have been a lot of pressures on areas that are adjacent to Walden to have commercial building. That's where the Walden Woods Project has been so good, in that they've come in and been able to purchase a number, over 100 acres so far, of land, which is now under conservation. So there's still a lot to be done, but there are a lot of things that are much better than it was 100 or 150 years ago.
That's a great image to see the change, and actually part of the change is probably due to Walden itself, the effect that through time we have begun to really appreciate and preserve the wild spaces. Well, you know, we're just a few days away from literally the 150th anniversary, and of course the book is a tribute to that. You're holding a special show to present these images to the public. Why don't you tell us about that?
I appreciate that. Yes, my wife Marilyn and I own Sun to Moon Gallery, which is in Carrollton, Texas, which is a suburb of Dallas. And we are opening an exhibition tomorrow night, Friday night, August 6th, with a book signing from 6 to 9. And I am showing approximately two dozen large format images from the book. And, you know, we're very excited about having that opportunity. And next spring, for people who don't live in Texas, I have a partnership with the Harvard Museum of Natural History, and we are going to be mounting a traveling exhibition that will actually kick off at Harvard in spring of 2005, and then hopefully that will travel the country, and that'll be about 40 photographs.
You know, one of the fascinating things about this particular book, and by the way, how can people visit your website?
People can visit our website. It is suntomoon.com. That's suntomoon.com. And secondarily, there is also a website specifically for the book, which is walden@150.com, and that's WALDENAT, and then the number 150. And in there, I actually have posted all of the photographs that are in the book, so if somebody wants to take a look, they can go directly to that.
One of the most amazing things about the book is the price. How much does this book sell for?
Well, I actually think it doesn't sell for enough, but I have to give it to the publisher, Houghton Mifflin, credit that they came up with a nice thing. If you read Walden in the first chapter, Economy, Mr. Thoreau actually talks about, you know, how much it cost to build his cabin, which is $28.12. And so the book is priced at $28.12, so it's an incredible bargain.
Scott Miller, thanks for sharing your work and passion with us on the Wild Side News. This is Sidney Wildman Smith saying adios until we meet again on the Wild Side News.